Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Game time with Boomer Esiason. This week's guest is three-time Olympic gold medalist and five-time NCAA champion, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. Presented by Geico.
Today's guest is the winningest coach in college basketball history. Period. His tough to spell but slightly easier to pronounce name has become synonymous with Duke and also with leadership excellence. And even though he coaches at my alma mater's former ACC rival Duke, I have so much respect and admiration for Mike Krzyzewski. And it's my pleasure to welcome the iconic coach K to Game Time. Coach, it's always great to see you. Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, thanks. I've looked forward to doing this. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, and we're not going to get into the Terp Blue Devil rivalry just yet, a little bit later on. But let's talk about some of the things that are going on in today's game right now before we get to your biography and your background and everything else. You know, it's a state of flux for college basketball. There's no question about it. Transfer portals, one-and-done kids, the NBA G League. Players are going to start getting paid now in some sort of form starting this July. Where do you see college basketball as it sits right now?
No, it's. I think it's in chaos, to be quite frank with you. You know, there's always going to be a product on the floor. There's going to be a tournament, but the inner workings of college basketball is really up in the air. Especially with the transfer portal, you know, giving the players that right. You know, we have over 1,600 kids who have transferred and. They don't. They can still declare until one July. So, you know, how coaches put together their teams is really hard. And the other thing, Boomer, I think there are over 250 youngsters who have declared for the NBA draft. And now, whether all of them will keep their names in, that won't happen. But a number of them will. So, you're getting close to 45-50% of the kids who played college basketball last year are in some movement. They're in some phase of movement. And I think a big thing is how the NBA two-way contract is now, where even if you don't get drafted, there are 60 more spots available, and not just the 60 in the draft, there are 60 others that can be two ways, two to a team. And so a lot of kids, agents are talking to them, if you're not going to get drafted, I can get you a two-way. And it's paid quite well, somewhere around $400,000. So there's a lot going on, and there's really no one who is trying to get the whole thing under one umbrella and figure this whole thing out for men's college basketball.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating, I'm sure, for coaches like you that have been around for a long time. You know, I don't know how you can keep a team together these days and know who's coming and who's going and where you should be recruiting and what you're telling these kids and their parents as you walk into their house trying to get them to commit to Duke.
Well, you know, I think we've gone, not just with the kids that you're recruiting from high school, you're recruiting kids from other schools who have put themselves in a transfer portal. And so you're recruiting all the time. And I think we've gone from recruiting to negotiating. I think the world has changed. I'm not saying you're negotiating money, but you're negotiating minutes, playing time, just where do I fit? You know, I think every college coach should take a master class and watch it from a fortune teller and have that fortune teller be able to tell how do you predict the future, you know, with minutes, playing time, rotation, and how it's going to be for that specific youngster.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to when Bobby Knight offered you to go to West Point. Could you imagine you and your parents sitting down with Bobby Knight saying, okay, here's our son. This is how many minutes he needs. This is how many shots he needs. This is how, you know, this is what he needs to make sure that he's going to come to West Point, and you have to make sure this is going to happen for him?
No, and that wouldn't happen. And to be, I'll be quite frank, in my 46 years of coaching, and as I get to the final part of my coaching career, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. You know, I think you have to go into a locker room with your team where everyone knows that you all have to earn it, not that something's been negotiated for you to be the point guard or get X amount of minutes or whatever. That's crazy. At least for the little bit more that I'm going to do this, that's something that I am definitely not going to do.
We're just getting warmed up with the great Mike Krzyzewski right now. Stay with us as Game Time continues right after this.
You're watching Game Time with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by GEICO.
Welcome back to Game Time. Mike Krzyzewski's natural leadership and organizational skills were evident at a young age. Growing up in Chicago's Ukrainian village, he would organize basketball games with kids in the neighborhood on the West Cortez Street and at St. Helens Catholic School. And Mike, I love this because I played CYO basketball myself back in the day when I was like 10 or 11 years old. And you organized your own CYO team and went to the headmaster and said, hey, you know, I got a team here. I'm ready to go. And she wouldn't let you join the league? Is that right?
Right. I never played CYO because the nun who was our principal said, you know, we don't do that. And our parish wasn't organized enough, like some of the more suburban parishes and that with CYO. So we were a hybrid nomad team that tried to get pickup games around the city. But it was interesting. It started my leadership or organizational skills early.
You end up going from high school to West Point. Now, this is not easy. We all know that. You didn't want to go to West Point, but your parents really wanted you to go to West Point, and it turned out being pretty good deal for you.
Boomer, I call it the best decision I never made. I had trust and love for my parents, and as a result, I made a decision that had the biggest impact on my life besides my decision to get married and form a family.
Yeah, tell us something about Coach Knight that maybe we don't know. And what was it like playing for him?
Well, he's brilliant. And I had never seen preparation, emotion, intensity to that level. And as his point guard for a few years, I was responsible for running the team. So I was held accountable. And I got at West Point, I got a double dose of the highest education that you could have in preparation for being a coach. I was at the best leadership school in the world and best character building school in the world at the United States Military Academy. And I was playing for one of the all-time great coaches who taught me the game and taught me how to do a number of things or not how to do some things too, but for the most part, I was hit with amazing stuff from both entities, and it has served me well.
In 1979, I got to Maryland. In 1980, you got to Duke, and you haven't left. You've still been there. Your first 3 years, 38 and 47, did your confidence ever waver at your beginning part of your legacy that you've left there at Duke?
My confidence overall did not. Certainly, going through that, you're going to have your bad days. I had to learn how to recruit at that level. And so the very first recruiting class, we really bombed out on the top seven kids that we were trying to get. And then we changed our philosophy. And even though we only won 10 games that year, we had the best recruiting class in the country with Billis, Allery, Henderson, Dawkins. even though they had a tough freshman year, they only won 11 games, but their senior year, they won 37. And we almost won the national championship. And that was just, they were the basis of how it all started. So their commitment to me will always be appreciated. And that's why we have such close relationships.
And what a start it was. We'll return with living coaching legend Mike Krzyzewski after these messages.
Brought to you by the Ford Bronco Sport. Built Ford tough. It's time for a change. Instead of working from home, work from your luxury suite at Midtown Manhattan's crown jewel, the Kimberly Hotel. Now offering special monthly rates with the most impeccable safety and hygiene protocols to keep you safe. Game Time with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Geico.
One of Mike Krzyzewski's longtime assistant coaches, Chris Collins, has noted that while everyone thought coaching the national men's team in addition to coaching Duke would wear out Coach K, the opposite occurred. This new challenge to chase world championships and pursue Olympic titles actually refreshed and reinvigorated him. Is that true, Coach?
Yeah, definitely, although it consumed me. All of a sudden, I was thrust into a situation where you had Mike D'Antoni and Jim Boeheim and Nate McMillan, Thibodeau, Monty Williams, these guys and their staffs. On my staff, I got to coach guys like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Chris Paul and these guys, and they were students of the game. And so really it was a melting pot of talent at the highest level, and I was able to learn a lot more, just a lot more. It was an amazing 12 years for me. And in addition to that, to reestablish how you develop a culture, because USA Basketball did not have a culture. And with Jerry Colangelo, who's primarily responsible for it, we were able to do that from 2006 to 2016.
And just your experiences with Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Patrick Ewing, and all these great players that you either coached against, at North Carolina, at Georgetown, or at Michigan State, and now all of a sudden you find yourself in a locker room with these guys. What was it like coaching Michael Jordan, and how did he make you feel when you first met him?
I knew Michael. He made me feel comfortable, and because he was at the top of the totem pole, and P.J. Carlesimo and I, his assistants, were at the bottom. P.J. was just a little bit below me, and just in case he's watching. And USA Basketball, it was the first time professional athletes from the United States participated in men's basketball in the Olympics. David Stern, it was such a great idea to do that, and it was an explosion for basketball around the world. And Boomer, those were the guys that really helped form the NBA in the 80s. When you think about the Celtics and the Lakers and all those rivalries, the Pistons and the Bulls in the early 90s, and all of a sudden they were brought in under one umbrella. And Chuck Daly, God bless him, who was the coach of the Pistons at that time, and just a great, great man and coach. He was able to blend all those guys together, and they were all gentlemen. And basically they brought the NBA culture to USA Basketball. It didn't stay on after that for a long time, but it was actually beautiful to watch. They were all gentlemen. They treated me well, but we had just won two national championships in 91-92. The first practice, we're in San Diego, and Chuck gets the whole team together, and I think I'm pretty hot stuff. We just won two, and I'm looking around. There's Robinson, there's Jordan, there's Malone, and then I started shrinking. And hoping I turned from a very confident guy to hoping that I wouldn't make a mistake in practice.
You actually said that Michael Jordan allowed you to have an ego.
He did. At the end of that practice, I was pleased because I didn't screw up. and I'm drinking a bottle of water, and Michael walks up to me, and, you know, he's Carolina, I'm Duke, and he's at the top of the totem pole, I'm at the bottom, and so he could really crush me, you know, as a guy. And I'm sitting there, I'm a West Point graduate, I'm going to take it, and Michael says to me, he said, "Coach, I'd like to work, you know, on some of my offense for a while. Can you work with me?" And so you have a water or Jordan. So I took Jordan. and then we worked for about a half hour, and then he said, "Thank you." And so he could have said, "Hey, idiot, get over here and shag some balls for me," and I would have done it. And I wouldn't have felt good about myself. Instead, he said, "Please," he said, "Coach," he worked with me, and then he said, "Thank you." And his totem pole didn't go up and down. It went this way, you know, where everyone, I learned a great lesson that day, is the impact of the great player, and also the fact that everyone on your, in your group is important. And, you know, he's still, to me, the greatest player of all time. And he was able to influence his environment throughout his career.
We'll be back in a moment for more with Mike Krzyzewski after this.
You're watching Game Time with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by GEICO.
Welcome back to Game Time as we continue with Mike Krzyzewski. What is the biggest difference between coaching college kids and the NBA player?
Well, you know, college players, are, first of all, they're young men, they're not men. And I call it, Boomer, crossing bridges, you know, bridges of changing limits, growing up, or whatever, becoming better than what you used to be. Yeah, you have to cross a bridge. And sometimes before you cross that bridge, you're knocked on your butt a few times. And, you know, you can help a youngster cross a bridge, and that you get that relationship. And so they have to depend on you a lot more. With the pro guys, they've crossed a lot of bridges already, some bridges that I might not have been able to cross. And so you try to create more of an atmosphere, an environment of mutual ownership, where it's not about the coach and it's not just about the player, it's about us. And that's what we try to do, and I think we're successful. One quick story, it's really, really capsulizes what we try to do. Our first team meeting, we'd always have the gold medal up on the screen. That was our goal. In that first meeting, I said, "I want you guys to know one thing. You are not playing for the United States." And I gave it a moment where they're thinking, like, this guy's an idiot. And I said, "Yeah, we won't win that gold medal unless you are United States basketball. You are. You don't just put on the uniform. And what does it mean to be a United States basketball player?" And we had their uniforms spread out on their beds back in their suites down in Las Vegas at the Wynn. And I said, "When you go upstairs, be 16 for a minute. And when you look on your bed, just be 16 years old for a minute. Don't be the stars that you are." And I wanted them to own it. I want them to feel. Well, you don't own it unless you feel it. You can see and hear, but you got to feel. Later that night, I'm sitting by a video poker machine losing some money. And I get this is a true story, a tap on my back, and it's Kobe. And he said, "Coach, I did that," and I started crying. And that was the start of us developing that feel for what it is to be a U.S. player. And those guys will all tell you who played, they were United States basketball players.
Yeah, you know, 22 minutes is not long enough for you, Coach. And I want to talk about Kobe Bryant and your relationship with him, as we'll be back for some buzzer beaters with Coach K right after this.
Drive into Manhattan for an unforgettable staycation at Midtown Manhattan's luxurious Kimberly Hotel. Treat yourself to New York City without the crowds, protected by our highest safety and hygiene protocols to keep your family safe. You're watching Game Time with Boomer Esiason.
All right, back with the great Coach K. Coach, you just mentioned Kobe Bryant and a moment you had with him, of all places in Las Vegas. What was he like to coach, and was he as fierce a competitor as Michael Jordan, as everybody says he was?
Well, he was, and is one of the top players ever and one of the top people ever, and maybe the best preparer for what he did. He, you know, he would always come in early, you know, on our first team. He came in 2 days early, knocked on our door. We're having coaches meetings and said, "Coach, can I talk to you?" And I went out and he said, and he was the alpha dog then. He was the best player in the world. LeBron was emerging at that time. And he said, "Coach, I want you to do me a favor." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I want to guard the best perimeter player on every team that we play." And he paused and he leaned forward and he said, "I promise I'll destroy him." And he knew that he was the scoring champ that year. He knew that in order to win his teammates over, that he was going to have to be that defender. And even in the first practice we had, he never took a shot. And then the relationship that he and LeBron developed were really the most important relationship in the development of that culture. They became very, very close. And by 2012, when we won in London, LeBron was the best player and Kobe was towards the end of his career. And they handled that about as well as, they handled it by themselves.
Yeah.
They were that smart in figuring out how do you do culture and environment.
Kind of like Michael Jordan did with Magic Johnson and, of course, the great Larry Bird, as you told that story earlier as well. It has just been absolutely terrific talking to you today. A big thank you to Mike Krzyzewski for joining us and to all of you for watching. I'm Boomer Esiason, and I'll see you again soon right here on Game Time with three-time Olympic gold medal winning sprinter Gail Devers.
And a great start from Gail Devers in lane three. She's pulling away from Glenn Torrance next to her.
You didn't want to go to West Point, but your parents really wanted you to go to West Point. And it turned out being pretty good deal for you.
When I told Coach Knight no for 2 weeks, they ethnically abused me verbally with speaking in Polish to me and adding words like stupid and Mike along with it.